WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Biden administration's hailing release of three U.S. citizens imprisoned in China for years. CBS's Torian Small is with the president on Nantucket.
The longest serving, his name is Mark Swiden. He's been serving since 2012 for drug-related charges. No guidance yet on when these Americans will be returned back to the United States.
Ohio's Republican Governor Mike DeWine signed a bill into law preventing transgender students from kindergarten through college from using public or private school bathrooms that correspond with their gender identity. The Great Thanksgiving Getaway is peaking on the roads, the rails, and at the airports. But meteorologist Craig Allen says weather could get in the way.
So from Wednesday into Thursday, the eastern half of the United States, the weather will be deteriorating with snow in the northern portions, rain, and possibly some severe weather in the southern portions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has announced $4.3 million in funding to help residents affected by the opioid crisis. The funding will be used to create disaster relief positions through the National Health Emergency Dislocated Worker Grant to provide humanitarian needs as a result of opioid use. The opioid crisis was declared a public health emergency in 2017 with the rise of fentanyl, and since then, opioid-related hospitalizations and overdose deaths have risen sharply. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced over $100 million in funding to help struggling residents lower their energy bills. According to a press release, the funding will come from the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. The program will provide payment and assistance for residents to pay their energy bills and help them winterize their homes to become more energy efficient. Any residents who are interested in seeing if they qualify for the program can do so online. The Eau Claire City County Health Department is sharing food safety tips ahead of Thanksgiving. According to a social media post, one in six people in the United States will get sick from something they eat at Thanksgiving dinner this year, so knowing the proper food preparation steps is important. A frozen turkey should be thawed in a refrigerator or cold water ahead of time, with about 24 hours of thawing time for every 5 pounds in the fridge. The turkey must also reach at least 165 degrees when cooked to be safe to eat. The Eau Claire Fire Department plans to replace its aging chemical identification system thanks to an $82,000 grant from Wisconsin Emergency Management. The upgraded system will allow the department to identify over 6,000 different chemicals, including hazardous chemicals, explosives, and narcotics. They also plan to upgrade their radio system to allow long-distance communication across the state, as the Eau Claire Fire Department is one of only a handful that's been designated as a Type 1 hazardous materials response system. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks get the win without Giannis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just before the game, the Bucks learned that Giannis Antetokounmpo could not go due to swelling in his left knee. The Bucks still managed to win 106-103 over the Miami Heat. Center Brooke Lopez and how Damian Lillard led the Bucks with 37 points and 12 assists.
Yeah, he was clearly locked in, you know, and it definitely gave everyone something to follow. He was such a great leader out there, and you know, we all played off him.
NFL, the Packers may be shorthanded at linebacker. When they play the Dolphins tomorrow night at Lambeau Field, Isaiah McDuffie and rookie Edgerrin Cooper unable to practice. Defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley asked, how did linebacker Quay Walker perform Sunday night against the 49ers?
I thought Quay played his best game. I was really proud of him, and it was really cool to see. I think if you ask Quay the week before, I think he would tell you he didn't play his best game. The way he responded and the way he practiced, it was like he was on a mission last week.
That's Packers coach Jeff Hafley with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to 31 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5. Tonight down to 20. Thanksgiving Day, mostly cloudy. Some flurries with a high of 28 on Friday and Saturday. Partly to mostly cloudy with highs in the upper teens to low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 21.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart.
heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I have an all-star lineup of John Legend, Jenny Slate, Adam Brody, and the one and only John Grise, also known as Uncle Rico. And I'm joined by musical guest Eric Ratzak from Ask Your Mother and Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning. Happy day before Thanksgiving and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Jess Plotkin-Sell on the board in for Calvin, who's got the week off. He deserves it. We're coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. And you can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show for you today, Maggie Dawn, host of the wonderful and award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Mm-hmm. From 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network is going to be joining us. We're going to talk again a little bit more about Michael Gableman. She had Jeff Mandel on from Law Forward.
Yes.
And he explained how Michael Gableman essentially broke every rule he could possibly break. And there's a great editorial in the Cap Times about our favorite assembly speaker.
Oh, the Popcorn King?
The Popcorn King, the Robin Voss. So we're gonna throw that in there as well. I love their editorials at the Cap Times. Yes, largely because I agree with them, but also because I think they're funny. Next hour, we will lighten things up. Day before Thanksgiving, we're going to change things around a little bit. We're going to kick off the 11 o'clock hour with Tater Tot Casserole Wars.
Yeah.
This is an infight going on between one of my sisters and me.
Is that really a war?
Greg, do you have sisters?
I have one.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a war.
It's a war.
It can be full of love, but it's still a war.
Well, and it's who's right.
Right.
Is it right? That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
And this has to do with the ingredients in the tater tot casserole. I feel I have experts on my side. We'll have to see. We'll take your calls after 11 o'clock. Tater tot casserole wars at 11:20. Brittany Merlot will be here with weather and wine. We're going to take a look at what you can expect if you're hitting the roads. A lot of people hitting the roads today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Friday. So we'll see what the weather is going to do for that, and hopefully you'll have a nice, safe travel experience. Tyler Moss is the co-founder and writer for Milwaukee Record. He will be here at 11:33, also talking about casseroles.
Do you think we can ask him his thoughts on what you're going through?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like the whole 11 o'clock hour is just going to be an underpinning of trying to make you the correct person in this battle.
Is that wrong?
No. Hey, if your sister wanted to, she'd get her own show. So,
and then we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, going along with the Thanksgiving theme, it is Turkey versus Unexpected Visitor Edition.
Okay.
Yes, that will come up at 11:51, so I hope you can stick around for that. Did want to start off, though, with this headline from the Washington Post. Americans are not getting seasonal vaccines ahead of the holidays. Experts are worried that the unenthusiastic embrace, that's one way to put it, of vaccines could spark outbreaks and increased hospitalizations. Yeah, the numbers are down again. As of this month, 37% of people 18 and older had gotten a flu shot. Just 19% got updated COVID vaccines.
40% of folks 75 and older who is at, they're at the greatest risk, they got the RSV vaccine. The vaccination rates are similar to last year's. The numbers reflect a persistent public health challenge achieving broader vaccine uptake for these illnesses. I got my shots a couple of weeks ago.
I'm getting my shot soon. It's been on my list of things to do. I believe in the vaccines. I'm going to get the vaccines, but I haven't. But my question is, you know, where was this number 6 years ago?
That's a very good question.
6 years ago. And then on top of that, now you have this, you always will have the people who don't do it by principle, regardless, people who forget or whatever. But now it just seems like, I'm not getting the vaccine. So how many of those?
I'm not a sheeple.
I don't do what I'm told. Like all my other friends who aren't getting a vaccine, I'm not doing it either.
Yeah. I had the flu once. The actual flu.
Yeah. Ever?
I've only had it once. Huh? I've only had it once.
That's impressive.
Wow.
But I will never forget how sick I was.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's a different kind of sick.
It's a whole new level of, God, I think I'm going to die.
For me, the flu is, I've gotten it many times, and I get it usually once a year.
Do you?
Yes. Sometimes I get it twice a year. Because for me personally, it feels like your body's saying, hey, you know how you didn't take care of yourself?
You didn't get enough rest.
You didn't get enough rest. Well, now you have to get rest, and it's not going to be pleasant either. Like, you're taking a small vacation from work, but you're not going anywhere. You're going to be on your couch, and you're going to be in pain for at least 3 days.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And it's the combination of the high fever.
Yep.
And
the pain.
Yeah, the just pain. The pain that the body aches and mm-hmm. all of that. The flu is not a pleasant experience.
No.
And again, if you've never had actual influenza, we're not talking about stomach flu.
No.
That's not what this is. This is a whole different level of ugh.
Yeah.
Coverage lowest in both years among people without insurance who said they are not likely to get the flu or COVID vaccines. Young people and those living in cities and suburbs are also less likely to get vaccinated. I certainly understand younger people.
Yeah.
I didn't get the flu shot for many, many years because, you know, I'm 27. Like,
I'll live forever.
I'm indestructible and nothing is going to hurt me. And then I got it that 1 year and it was like, I think I'll get this now. About 9% of kids younger than 18 have gotten this year's COVID shot. 33% vaccinated against the flu. To protect infants from RSV, they recommend vaccination during pregnancy.
Okay.
And a monoclonal antibody treatment for babies younger than 8 months entering their first RSV season. As of March, about 41% of eligible infants had gotten that RSV treatment. And from what I've read about that for infants, it's just RSV is excruciating. And their parents, I can't imagine how painful that is. To be a parent watching your child struggle with something like that.
I just think of the parents. I mean, like, it's awful for parents who have to go through it, but then there's parents out there who are like, I'm not vaccinating my child. And then they have to go through something like this, and it's too late at that point. They can't get vaccinated for what they have right in the moment. And I don't know. I will never, ever understand this gauntlet being thrown down on vaccinations ever. It's like, vaccinations are an insult to people's intelligence. You know, they're vaccinations. They help. It's proven. Sometimes people have side effects or adverse reactions.
Absolutely. That happens. Yes.
Nothing. But like, we were listening to that video of RFK Jr. saying there's no cancer vaccinations that are safe and effective. He's just wrong. So all these individuals who still say like, well, vaccination's been led to autism. No.
No studies that have found a link between vaccines and autism. There aren't.
It's just so disappointing because, like, this is the hill that you literally might die on or your kid might get sick on.
Well, and one of the memes that I've seen on social media is go to a cemetery sometime and look at the number of children who died in childhood before, like, 1955, before vaccines became widely used.
Yeah.
The numbers were astonishing.
Yeah.
And that's why if you had a big family, if you had 6 or 8 kids, you might lose 2.
Might.
In childhood.
Yeah.
Because they weren't vaccinated.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't get it. I never will get it. And even when someone tries to explain it on a level-headed plane for me, I'm still like, no, it doesn't make it. There's not enough proof that you can present to me, scientific proof. And I'm talking studies, peer-reviewed over years, that will show to me that vaccines are a government cover-up and the other thing is, like, one of the big things for people with regard to the COVID vaccination was like, well, it happened so fast. The COVID vaccination happened so fast and we didn't have time to test it. Well, it's been around now for quite a few years. And also, your attitude towards vaccinations is, I don't believe in them. Well, where's your proof? I just know. Well, isn't that the same sort of thing you're holding to those vaccinations? You don't believe that enough studying and enough evidence has gone into these vaccinations to work for you.
But yet
you make these snap decisions that you're not going to make vaccinations because what, a podcaster told you? So it baffles my mind. It will forever. I don't understand it.
Well, I just go back to all of the warnings when COVID first came out and the COVID vaccine first became available. And remember the people sticking spoons to their foreheads saying they got the shot and they became magnetic?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. Come on, baby, bring it. I'm not sure what advantage that would give me, but it's like, well, if that's a thing, then I feel like I'm missing out.
You don't want to be left out of becoming magnetic.
Exactly.
You don't want to be an X-Men, like, though.
Being Magneto.
Magneto.
Okay, fine. Her too. I know it's a guy.
All right. Alicia on the live stream said, and this is very ingrained, my mom had me so afraid of autism and vaccines that my kids didn't get any for years. Then my son being diagnosed with autism proved her wrong.
Wow.
Autism doesn't care about your vaccinations. It's going to happen or it's not going to happen.
Well, and if you have three children and they all get vaccinated and one gets autism...
But there's always a workaround then. But there's something wrong with the body of the child then.
It was this particular case.
They accepted the vaccination and it turned, you know, there's always a reason to prove their non-facts.
Well, and now we have this to look forward to. Jay Bhattacharya will be leading the National Institutes of Health in the second Trump administration. Dr. Bhattacharya was famous during COVID. He was a big proponent of getting herd immunity, which essentially means let everybody get sick and then they'll develop natural antibodies. Yeah, we're going to lose, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million before we get to that herd immunity. But yeah, he's going to be heading up the National Institutes of Health.
Cool. Can't wait.
Something to look forward to. Little blue sky update on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? what thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash Bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Yip, 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 yip. Sha-da-da-da, sha-da-da-da-da.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Jess P.S. on the board, in for Calvin, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Maggie Dawn will be here. We're going to talk a little bit more about Michael Gableman, of course, who just spent a couple $1 million of our taxpayer money in Wisconsin to find essentially no evidence of voter fraud. And now he's in a little bit of trouble.
Essentially, no.
Yeah. So we'll kick that around with Maggie. She had Jeff Mandel on from Law Forward, who made some really, really salient points, I thought. So we're going to talk about that with Maggie Dawn coming up after 10:30. Wanted to do a little update, though, on Blue Sky, because they continue picking up millions of users.
I'm looking at mine right now.
How many followers do you have?
I have officially now, I have 103.
Look at you.
Honestly, I'm not kidding you. I get excited to go into it. I'm like, dude, what bit of sunshine or funny will I see or a cool video? Not, hey, you know how the world's on fire right now? I just poured some gasoline on it and it's your fault.
I mean, certainly you can find those kinds of things on Blue Sky, but it does seem to be just a much more positive. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of lighter stuff on there.
Yeah.
And things you can follow. But I found this morning. Chinese state media is reportedly troubled by the latest accidents of Twitter users who are flocking to Blue Sky. State outlets, which put considerable money into amassing millions of followers on Twitter by buying ads, deploying bots, and hiring influencers. And they are disturbed by seeing a plateau in the growth, so they can't foist their propaganda on us.
I don't care.
The growing popularity of Blue Sky has sparked worried chatter within Chinese state media circles. He predicts the accounts on Twitter will migrate to Blue Sky, although it might take time. So if you need a little more encouragement on checking out that platform, check it out.
I mean, just get some accounts. I mean, you can hire people or you can write algorithms that can create accounts and make bots. It's going to suck when the bots come through there hard. Like, I'm sure there's bots in there right now. But, like, I literally, like, if you go, I had nearly 2,100 followers like 2 weeks ago. I'm down to 100 less. Like,
on Twitter?
Just losing them left and right. And they're mostly bot accounts and people leaving. I don't know why they're so worried. They can still put their money into Blue Sky, right? Like, you can buy ads on Blue Sky.
There are no ads on Blue Sky.
There are no ads on Blue Sky?
No.
I guess I didn't even notice that.
And I've been seeing things, you know, they're going to have to try. They're working on some kind of subscription model.
Yeah.
And from what I've read also, they have 20 employees at Blue Sky. That's it.
Well, I mean, when you think about Twitter, like before, honestly, before Putz de Leon came along and bought it, you thought of Twitter as this behemoth of a business. And they had it, but they don't, it didn't take as much, because it's still running now. And he's fired like a great deal of his employees.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that Blue Sky has 20 employees.
I'm sure that, and they can work it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure it'll grow. And I hopefully it does. And I honestly, I'm so used to seeing ads, Jane. I never have noticed there are no ads.
There are no ads on Blue Sky. So you don't have to, because I ended up blocking ads all the time on Twitter.
And what they do now on Twitter is you can't block them, you can't comment on them, you can't
shake them.
They're just absolutely like this, I don't know, amorphous thing on your timeline that cannot be contacted or any way, shape, or form interacted with. So therefore, you have no choice.
Well, and that's going to get even worse after the first of the year.
Yeah.
With changes that Elon plans to make. I do want to share one little warning, though. When I was on Blue Sky yesterday and I looked for Mr. Global, our friend Matt Randolph, who is the oil and gas industry expert. He's been on the show many times. We're going to have him on sometime in December.
Yeah.
But I searched for Mr. Global yesterday and he came up and it's the same profile picture he uses on TikTok and on Twitter. And so I sent him a direct message and I said, "Hey, Matt, good to see you. You know, nice to see you here on Blue Sky." I said, I'm going to reach out to you and I'll send you an email to get you on the show. And I got this weird response back saying, "Hi, nice to hear from you. What email address did you use to contact me?" And I thought that made me twitchy. So I went to my email account and I emailed Matt and I said, "Oh, by the way, in case you're not on Blue Sky, there's a new imposter you." And he said, "Yeah, that's not me." And so that is something that you want to be aware of and be a little wary of.
Well, yeah, especially on, I believe it'd be TikTok, the amount of Mr. Global imposters. He said it's a full-time job just
knocking
to report them.
Off.
Yeah. I mean, it is absolutely crazy pants. Because the first one I followed was the incorrect one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm smart. But yeah.
But how do you tell the difference? They're all using his same profile picture.
Yes. It's, yeah, I don't know how you, I mean, because, well, they have check marks on TikTok.
They do.
He should get a check mark.
Well, and I think if you want to follow Mr. Global, and I think he's concentrating more now on his YouTube channel.
Yes.
So if you want to follow him, and he's brilliant. He has all kinds of great insights. He's been working in the oil and gas industry for more than 30 years. He owns his own little oil company in Oklahoma. So check out Mr. Global on YouTube.
You ever wonder what that feel like? You're like, "What do you do?" I own an oil field.
But he's not ExxonMobil by any stretch of the imagination.
So it's boutique.
It's a boutique oil
company. Boutique oil.
He's like the B&B of oil companies.
Yeah, he's like Indie Records. He's Sub Pop of oil and gas. Right, you know, he's so cool.
All right. News is coming up next. When we return, the incomparable Maggie Dawn will be with us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reporting a slight uptick in the number of hunters for the gun deer hunt season, but the early harvest is still down. According to a press release, the number of licenses sold went up by about 0.5% from 2023, but the number of deer registered on opening weekend dropped by about 2% from last year and sits about 5% lower than the five-year average. Officials say the lower harvest numbers are likely caused by the hunting season being the latest it can legally be this year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will officially begin selling state park passes under their new 12-month system next week. Earlier this year, Governor Tony Evers approved a bill that would allow state park passes to be valid for 12 months from the month that they were purchased, rather than expiring at the end of the calendar year. The hope is more residents will buy the 12-month pass and take advantage of all the outdoors activities the state offers. The new passes can be purchased online or at state park properties starting on Monday. Judge Douglas Hoffer has announced that he will run to continue serving as Eau Claire County Circuit Court Judge. Earlier this year, Judge Hoffer was appointed to the position by Governor Tony Evers to fill the vacancy for the remainder of the current term, which ends on July 31st. After serving in the role for the past few months, Judge Hoffer has announced he will seek election to the position for the next term. He has previously served as the Deputy City Attorney for the City of Eau Claire. The election will be held on Tuesday, April 1st. Barron County officials are making progress on plans to conduct maintenance work on the Rice Lake Dam over the summer. The county thus far has struggled to find bidders to take on the project, and officials say they now plan to purchase the parts for the maintenance work themselves and then provide them to the eventual installers. The plan is to have the installations fully completed by the end of September. Officials also say that the planned work should not disrupt the recreation options on the lake, so residents can fully enjoy it over the summer. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickhead Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures near freezing in the low 30s. Winds are calm and they'll stay that way tonight too as temperatures fall to the teens. But by tomorrow, for Thanksgiving, it'll be blustery cold as winds drop temperatures for the weekend to the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a pre-Thanksgiving special, Trigby Olson, The Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow with a Martha Stewart recipe. Be with us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I'm one of the girls talking.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Jess P.S. on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Or you can call and text directly from the Civic Media app. And starting next week.
What's that?
There might be a way you could win things via the Civic Media app.
Not me.
Well, not us, but people who are listening. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, do it now. Get a little head start. Go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited to be joined by our friend and colleague and host of the Maggie Dawn Show every Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. Maggie Dawn, how are you, my friend? How's it going this morning?
I'm wonderful. Happy early Thanksgiving to you and Greg and Jess P.S.
Absolutely. We are looking forward to being off for a couple of days.
Yeah.
We're going to be off tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
And then
bring it on.
Yeah. Matt Rothschild is going to be filling in for us in the big chair on Friday and on Monday. So we will all be back on next Tuesday. But we have a special show lined up for you tomorrow. If you need some background noise while you were prepping your turkey and making your green bean casserole, we will be there for you.
You might hear about Schooling McSchoolface again.
Oh, it's such a good story.
Yeah.
So. Maggie, you had Jeff Mandel on from Law Forward on your show. I don't know if it was this week or if it was last week.
It all blends together, Jane.
It does.
Does it not?
It's all big. It's all one big hot dish.
Yes, I believe it was last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday.
When I had Jeff on, yes.
And the reason I wanted to talk about that with you this morning is because I don't know if you read the Cap Times, but I love their editorials in the Cap Times because I tend to agree with them and they also make me laugh. Here is the headline from the Cap Times editorial board. Don't let Robin Voss worm his way out of the Gableman fiasco. Robin Voss has been at the Speaker of the Assembly since 2013. And he, of course, is the one who hired Michael Gableman to find evidence of voter fraud. And then he spent $2 million, a little more, of our money, Wisconsin taxpayer money. 2.3. At one point, according to this editorial, we were paying him $11,000 a month.
My goodness.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
I mean, sign me up. At least I have some familiarity with election laws and processes.
What? Me? So you won't have to spend the first couple months just studying because
you
got
up in a law library?
Well, yeah. You gotta go to all those MyPillow symposiums all across the country.
Exactly.
You really got to take in the information. That's the one thing that we don't talk enough about.
Yes, is the depth of knowledge about election processes and the functioning of democracies that you can learn from a guy who sells pillows on TV and used to be a cokehead. I mean, sure. Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense. I know.
It really does.
According to this editorial, Voss plucked Michael Gableman from well-deserved obscurity and lavished the former justice's boondoggle with millions of tax dollars. Why? To save his own political skin, Trump wanted an investigation of the election. Just a day before Voss announced he was hiring Gableman, Trump accused Voss and other GOP legislative leaders of working hard to cover up election corruption in Wisconsin. So Robin Voss did what Donald Trump wanted him to do and hired Michael Gableman. And from what Jeff Mandel said from Law Forward on your show, Michael Gableman essentially broke every single rule that lawyers in Wisconsin are expected to follow, correct?
Yeah, that was the quote of the interview.
Seriously.
In Jeff's language, which I have reviewed the complaint against former Supreme Court Justice Gableman myself, but Jeff's line was, listen, in the state of Wisconsin, the oath that attorneys take is actually quite detailed and lengthy. In a lot of states, it's raise your hand, I do solemnly swear to uphold to the best of my ability the constitutions of the United States of America and insert state name here, right? Yep, super great. Off you go. You're done. No. They are lengthy. the oaths that we attest to and say we will do, and it not only uphold the constitutions, but to be an officer of the court, to not misrepresent things, zealous advocacy, preservation of attorney-client privileges, all these different elements of being a lawyer, which is the standard that I think all lawyers really should be held to with consistency. And in Jeff's language, Mike Gabelman violated every single provision in the attorney oath in the state of Wisconsin and did so flagrantly on multiple occasions. If there was not a case for disbarment, if this isn't a case for disbarment, I legit have no idea what is.
Well, and that's something even, you know, one point we have been bringing up for months now is the fact that Robin Voss has said, even in the face of him hiring Michael Gabelman by Trump's behest, that the elections in 2020 were fair and safe and secure and we're good to go. Now he's come out saying, I hope that Michael Gabelman is disbarred. Robin Voss is not holding back. But it also goes back to, he was your choice.
Yes.
You could have chosen a lot of people and you chose this guy. And now you're making it seem, you're trying to distance yourself. No, you picked him. You spent the money. You gave him the resources. There's some basic accountability.
Yeah, beyond the, like, you picked him part, is that all of Mike Gabelman's shortcomings as a legal thinker, as someone operating in a political forum about something that's highly politicized, and frankly, his moral ambiguity or lack of a moral compass was all known, well known before Robin Voss appointed him. One need only look at his term on the state Supreme Court. He was largely a laughingstock. And I don't mean amongst liberal lawyers or lawyers that lean left. I mean amongst conservative jurists. He was not considered to be a big thinker or a good legal scholar, or even a good basic legal writer. He was a joke. His campaign to win the seat on the state Supreme Court is what landed him in ethics hot water the first time. He effectively engaged in active knowing misrepresentations in his advertising campaign, which is what led him to get into ethics trouble before. And the only reason he wasn't sanctioned previously is that the state Supreme Court is the body that ultimately determines whether attorneys are sanctioned. And he was on the Supreme Court, he actually figured out this is a conflict of interest, recused himself. And so the court deadlocked on whether or not to impose any sort of penalty. And again, that campaign, those ads not only included falsehoods, which were known, it was race baiting. It was some of the most racist sort of tropes that could have been used to when he ran against Louis Butler. So to summarize here, he was a known idiot, not a good lawyer. He had ethically compromised himself multiple times before, barely evaded sanction the first time around, is a race baiter and a political hack. Yeah, Robin, pick that guy. And I need to emphasize again, all of this was known. All Robin Voss had to do, and listen, he has dealt with very good lawyers for the entire length of his term on the assembly. He's dealt with excellent lawyers that helped Robin Voss and Republicans gerrymander Wisconsin into oblivion after the 2010 census.
Yes.
Where over 50% of us, near 60% of us were voting for Democrats, and yet the state assembly was 60% Republicans. He's dealt with very good conservative lawyers in this state. He could have asked any one of them, hey, who is the premier conservative election law expert, right? He didn't do that. He picked Mike Gabelman because he was a political hack with no moral compass, right? Because that is the only kind of person that would have reduced the political heat being focused on Robin Voss from Donald Trump. He had to give them like a rabid dog, right? Someone unmoored, again, by attorney ethics, basic core morality, or any sort of fidelity to the law or how our elections actually work. They needed a know-nothing political hack dupe. That's who he picked. Robin Voss always knew that. For him to get up and now throw Michael Gableman under the bus as if he had no idea that this guy was grotesquely unqualified, and then to double down on that by saying, I hope he loses his license forever and goes back to working at the Home Depot, should beg the question, why are you slamming people that work at the Home Depot, you elitist?
Yes.
And secondly, wait, you found him at Home Depot? He wasn't employed by some law firm, you know, about election law? Then why the hell did you pick him from there? Oh, wait, see Maggie Dawn's like first set of 6 points, because that's why he did. He but, always knew.
But couldn't he have, certainly he could have found someone who is still ethically compromised and yet familiar with the law, or was this just the easiest way to go?
So you bring up an excellent point. If you figure like, okay, ethically compromised, morally doesn't have really a good, no fidelity to the law, hack, blah, 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 blah. Well, maybe just get somebody who knows a little bit about the law and like knows that they need to comply with open records laws and isn't actively going to destroy documents, talk smack about opposing counsel because they're women, insinuate all sorts of sexual innuendo about the judge and opposing counsel.
Yeah, it's
like
just
someone
got...
that just doesn't suck so much would have been nice.
Seriously, though, I mean, there were so many things that went off the rails with him. And this goes back early on.
All of the things.
All of the things, even to the when renting his office space and then not keeping records, losing records, well, destroying records. It's mind blowing.
For me, and it's not funny, but it's comical in the whole scope of this thing.
Scheme was, of things, yeah.
Yes. The fact that he went to Waukesha to try to get the mayor of Green Bay arrested. And I just imagine someone in Waukesha going, you know, that's not here, right? Like, you know, we can't do there here because we have to do here. That's there. Go there for there, not here.
The guy doesn't know where Green Bay is. I mean, so add to geographic ignorance about the state which he's supposed to, you know, ensure that the elections went, you know, jurisdictional competence would be important when you're looking at elections because they operate differently in different counties, depending on whether you have central count. It matters, you know, which municipalities are in which counties and how it all works. Again, total ignoramus. That's who Robin Voss intentionally, with knowledge of four, picked, right? Like, that is who
that's the guy. That was the guy.
That's my guy. That moron over there. Let's pick that guy. Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't preclude him from running again for the Supreme Court, right? He could just be like, I'm back, baby. I could do it again. Oh, remember me?
He's got the name. Anything is now possible.
Well, yeah. He's got the name recognition now. I mean, everybody knows who he is. He's got that going for him.
Yeah. It just...
I'm sure people would vote for him. And again, here's the thing. Whatever people want to say about Dan Kelly, who ran against Janet Protasiewicz, Dan Kelly is a brilliant guy. I also think he's kind of a jerk. I've sat literally next to the guy at dinners and watched him like hold forth at the dinner and sort of like look askance at anyone else who dare proffer an opinion about the law because their name is not Dan Kelly. But the guy's smart.
He knows what
he's
doing.
Knows the law. Yeah. Right? You could have picked Dan Kelly had you wanted to back then. Dan was known to this ecosystem.
Right.
One of my fellow law school classmates has been a conservative lawyer, right? And has worked on all sorts of things for the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin. Could have picked my buddy from law school, who's a really smart guy and a good lawyer and actually, you know, follows the attorney code of ethics. Any of those,
there's
that's
your
just
first problem
off the top of my head, right? There's but, the first problem.
but I'm wondering too now, yeah, if you have someone who's actually competent, they could have come to the conclusion much sooner there was no voter fraud, and that ultimately did not help feed the narrative. We're going to continue our conversation with Maggie Dawn. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Didn't think nobody knew. See, the girls are talking, the girls are talking. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bott, Jess P.S. coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, very, very important segment, Tater Tot Casserole Wars. My sister and I have this ongoing disagreement on what belongs in a tater tot casserole. We will be taking your calls.
What doesn't belong in a tater tot casserole,
well,
Jane?
We'll get to that.
I don't want to jump the shark.
Strong opinions.
Jump the gun.
You'll have to stick around, Maggie, after 11 o'clock.
I will be listening. You may get a phone call from me.
Excellent.
It's about food. I'm going to have an opinion about
fabulous.
It.
Fabulous.
Like, oh, are we talking about food?
And then next hour at this time, we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Turkey versus Unexpected Intruder edition. Right now, though, Maggie Dawn is here from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. And we were talking about Michael Gableman being called out for breaking pretty much every ethical rule in Wisconsin in order to be a lawyer. So what happens to him now, Maggie? Does he get drawn? Is he dragged before a court of his peers and he's beaten about the face and neck with a dead fish? Or what happens to the
ooh,
guy?
Ooh, I'll hold a dead fish and do that, man.
Can we stand in line?
If a girl could wish for a holiday present of holiday presents,
that would be
dead fish slapping of Michael Gableman.
High on the list.
Top of list. Can they be real stinky too?
Absolutely.
It's got to be slimy too.
Yes, slimy and stinky. Okay. So one thing to note is that the charges include a claim, an allegation that Michael Gableman lied in his response to the OLR's investigatory inquiries.
Ooh, that's,
to him.
So that,
I just want
bad.
Everybody to like absorb that. So when the OLR tells you that they have opened an expansive investigation into your incompetent, lying, law-violating, oath-breaking misconduct over the course of years that was well publicized and then, you know, derided by the very guy that hired you as he's driving the bus over your back. One of the things that you probably don't want to do is then lie when you're responding to the regulatory agency that will determine whether or not you can retain your law license. But apparently, allegedly, that is what he did. And one of the things that he lied about, and this is really important, is whether or not there was an attorney-client relationship between the state legislature and Michael Gableman. And say what you may and what we will and shall about Robin Voss and the GOP-controlled Assembly and Senate. But there is a thing that is sacrosanct in the practice of law, and that is the fidelity to client.
You work on behalf of your client.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And one of the violations alleged is that he went out and actively campaigned against his client, in part based upon information and access that he had because of his role as a lawyer. So to take this out of this stupidly political big lie 1.0 thing, this would be like, Jane, if you hired me to manage, say, a dispute with your landlord or something like that. And as we're in the midst of said dispute,
Maggie, you're just breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you're frozen.
Let's try now. How's this?
Nope. You are pretty frozen. Maybe you want to dial back in real quickly. We've only got a couple of minutes left in the segment. That was Maggie Dawn from the incomparable Maggie Dawn Show, just having a couple of issues there.
This week getting juicy.
I know. I did want to plug, too, that today on Maggie's show from 2 to 4 p.m., she's going to be joined by Dan Terrio for the entire show.
Great.
It's a very special Thanksgiving celebration of Native American heritage. They will be talking about the history of Thanksgiving, First Nation dishes.
Amazing.
And ingredients, which should be really, really fascinating.
And if you miss out on that episode today, you can always go to the website, civicmedia.us, and download that episode and all episodes to listen as a podcast. And go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice and subscribe to it.
Maggie is back.
There she is.
Hello. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I just very briefly, because I know we're coming up on it. It would be as if in that landlord-tenant dispute where you hired me, Jane, if I went out and then spoke in favor of the landlord and used facts from the dispute that I only knew because you told them to
and hired me.
Correct. And you were paying me. And I went out and spoke in favor of the landlord related to the dispute and used information that I only had by virtue of the privileged communications between you and I. It's like a violation on the most basic tenets of attorney-client privilege. I'm not a fan of Robin Voss, but every client deserves a lawyer that works in their interest without conflict, right? Like baseline.
So does he get dragged before this board now, or do we just have to wait and see?
So there's a ton of process. He'll have an opportunity to respond. Maybe he'll lie again. So that'll be interesting.
It's working great so far.
And add a count. Yeah. Get, keep going with that tack.
Why stop?
There's then a panel that reviews it. If he doesn't like the outcome, eventually it goes before the Supreme Court and they will have to adjudicate what happens to Mr. Gableman. All of this, of course, putting a bright shining light on the April 2025 Supreme Court race.
Yes.
Here we go again, y'all.
Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. Check her out. It's 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. Thank you so very much, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Maggie. Good to see you. Take care. Travel safe.
You as well. News coming up next when we return. Tater Tot Casserole Wars.
Get out of the way.
It's very serious. On the Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll replay our visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about how Trump's mass deportations would hammer the U.S. food supply.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.